Good morning, everyone. We give thanks to God that this is the first weekend of October 2020, having gone through all this lockdown, and we are now in level one. We thank God. Greetings to all of you, those in Grace Generation Church in Pietermaritzburg. My name is Benson, one of the elders in the church. So we greet you, our friends who are across the world and listening to us even at this time. So we continue with our series in the book of Acts that we've called Restoration, the transformative power of the gospel. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 6 and verse 1 to 8. I will read from the ESV Bible. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them. Verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Shall we pray? Once again, our God, we come before you and we pray that, Lord, your presence will be with us this morning, and that, Lord, you will minister to our hearts and help us understand what the church is about, that your gospel will abound in our midst. We thank and bless you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. And so, as we continue in this series, we are looking at leadership. Leadership in the church. Leadership for full ministry in the church. And in an introduction, I will look at what this leadership is and what it is for. And then my first point, I have 3 points. The first one will be looking at the importance of knowing the situation in the church. And point 2 will be the leadership that is required for addressing the situation that arises in the church. And then thirdly, point 3, we will look at the results of providing leadership to address all situations that arise in the church. As we continue with this series this morning, I just want to remind us and recap that last week we were looking at persecution. And we saw that persecution was forces that were coming from outside of the church to inflict pain on the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth because of their faith. And this persecution arose because the Lord was using the apostles to do great things in Jerusalem. And the first wave that I mentioned came when Peter and John going into the church and were able to heal someone who has been lame from birth. And through that, preaching the word of God, they were imprisoned overnight. And then I continue to say that as they continue to do this work, many signs and wonders were being done among the people by the apostles. And sometimes Peter would be walking on the street and people would bring sick people by the roadside, and his shadow will cast on them and they will get healed. And so the church came to a point where they were doing very well involved. I said they were involved in many ways in the homes, sharing their foods together, doing businesses by selling lands and distributing the proceeds to people. And then also even in the church, praying and healing people. And so things were happening, and out of this arose the second wave of persecution, where all the apostles were in prison, and beaten as well. But thanks to God that when this was happening, God came in and opened the prison doors, and they went to continue with the work. And the third wave came when the person we are talking about today, in terms of, or we read about this morning, Stephen, was in a debate with some people from the synagogue of the Freemen, and they couldn't stand his wisdom. And as a result of that, they fabricated so many things about him, and he was stoned and murdered. So we see that all this persecution that we were looking at last week were coming from outside of the church. But then in our reading today, in the book of Acts chapter 6, we see another problem arising within the church, that in the first church, the Hellenists, who were actually Jews, but they were speaking Greek, because some of them were born outside of Jerusalem, but from Greek parents, and as a result, they were speaking Greek, and they were complaining that their widows who were in the church were being neglected from the daily distribution of food. Some say it was food, or maybe it was money that was given for food, buying food. So this daily distribution was not going well, and they started complaining about it. This is something that had the possibility to divide the church that was doing very well, as we have seen so far, and the flavor was very good. And so this complaint came to the attention of the leadership, the apostles, and leadership had to do something about it. So what we are seeing in this reading is that leadership is very, very key, because the problem that is arising of the daily distribution not being equitable is as a result of leadership. I'm not sure how the whole thing started, but one thing we know is that the apostles knew that they had to care for the widows and give them something to eat. And so when proceeds come, they give some to the widows. But the question is, who was in charge of this? It might have been that when it started, and because there were a few of them, widows around, maybe somebody volunteered to be attending to the distribution of food. And now the Bible says that this was growing. The church was growing. And now the widows were many, and probably the one who is sharing it got overwhelmed and could only attend to those who maybe were just speaking their language. And I think this is a situation that can come to us even as a church, especially as a multicultural church. This can happen. And so leadership is needed to make sure that there is order in whatever situation we find ourselves in. A great management consultant by the name Lewis Allen says, leadership is the work a person does to enable people to work most effectively together. And we can see here that the distribution of rations or food for the widows was not effective at all. And so someone needs to do something. And normally when people do something and do it in an orderly form, such a person is a leader who is able to help address situations that come. And so as we are looking, the leadership of the church had to make sure that this situation that has arisen in the church had to be addressed. And so that is why they are calling for leadership to be established. But then, I just want to say that in my first point, we must understand the situation that demands leadership. And in this situation, as we are seeing here, it is about a specific number of Hellenist widows who maybe their family members realize that they don't get the ration they need, and so it has come to the apostles' attention, meaning that the Hebrews' widows were getting something. Brothers and sisters, this is something that can happen that we need to give attention to. There are times people begin complain about certain things, but as we are in the church, we don't just have to brush over it. We need to find out what is going on, and that's exactly what the apostles have done here to make sure that they can attest to it. And so, chapter 6, the verse 2 says, and the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God and serve tables. And so the situation we see here is that there is the need. There are two aspects of situation here: the preaching of the word and the serving of tables. And I think we need to understand that, because if those two are understood and we know who is involved in it, this situation about the widows would not arise. And so, this is about the ministry of the church. The apostles are saying, we are already involved in the ministry of the word, preaching the word to ensure that people come to faith. But then we realize that there is also another ministry that needs particular attention, and that is the ministry of serving tables. In fact, the ministry of the word is to help spiritual growth. But the ministry of serving tables, or what I can term as ministry indeed, is about physical sustenance. And both are needed for people in the church to survive, for people in the church to be able to live in this world that we are living in. This is how a church can grow that's how we can have a healthy church. For the Apostle John later, who has been working with Peter and were put in prison, as we saw last week, when he was writing in 3 John verse 2, he says something that is pointing to this direction of differentiating between the ministry of the word and the ministry of serving tables, or ministry indeed. He says in verse 2, John, 3 John 2, he says, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you. That's the first point. All may go well. There are so many things that should go well with you. And then he specified them into two areas. And he says that you may be in good health. That's number one. For you to be in good health, there are a number of things to do with your physical being. And John is concerned about that. And then he says, and that all may go well with your soul. And so John, the Apostle John, is concerned about the physical welfare of a believer and the spiritual welfare of the believer as well. And so it's important that the apostles needed to do something about it. They were not only concerned about the spiritual aspects of the members' situation. They were also concerned about the physical aspects of each individual member of the church. And I think this is something that the church needs to look at. Sometimes we are so consumed about only the spiritual aspect of people's lives that we don't even dare to find out where they are, where they live, how their situation is, and all that. And sometimes some people even say that if you are not careful as a church, we will be so heavenly minded that we are earthly useless. And that's not what God wants us. In fact, the Apostle James even takes it further And in James chapter 2, verse 14, he says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, that is spiritually everything is going on well, but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? And so also faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? And so the apostles are drawing attention here that when we receive the word and our faith grows, it is important that that faith is put into action, and it is that action that will help us go physically and do well. Meaning that it must go to a point whereby as a child of God, you have something that you are involved in. There's a work that you do for your own sustenance. And sometimes, even as people of God, the Lord gives us opportunity to do some, to have work, and we don't take it serious. We just take it anyhow, and we don't do it as unto God, because that's what the word of God says. And so the apostles are taking this thing serious, that we need to make sure that as we deal with our faith, as we deal with our soul, we must also look at how physically we are and how good worth we are. And so the ministry of deeds, or ministry of serving tables, is something that is able to help us. If we have work to do, it's going to help us look into how people live physically and provide for our own families, and provide for even widows and orphans that are within the midst of the church, and the poor people as well. And so this morning, as we look into the situation that the apostles found themselves in, it was not just about the widows, but about how we do things physically to generate something that will help our own sustenance. In fact, Paul ties salvation into good deeds. And so when we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, he says, it is for by grace you have been saved through faith. And so we are saved through faith, and it is not our own doing. There's no way we can be saved by what we do. It is a gift of God, and not the result of work, so that anyone can boast. But then verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so God has prepared, as he saves us, he saves us into doing work, good works that can help other people, provide for widows, provide for orphans, provide for our own selves and our families and people around us. And so this, I'm just wanting us to know that what the apostles are dealing with here, as we have read this morning, is something that is deep, and that is something important that needs leadership to make sure that it happens within the church. It's quite interesting. When Jesus Christ himself was talking about the final judgment in Matthew chapter 25, he linked it to good work that a believer has to do. For Jesus, it was like, if you're a believer, these things should happen. And he was saying, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And before him, he will gather the nations, and he will separate people as from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then he continues to say, now he will say to those on his right, come who you who are blessed and inherit the kingdom prepared from the beginning of the foundation of the world by my Father. Because I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. In fact, one interesting thing is that I was even in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will say, when did I do this? And the Bible says, Jesus will say, because you did this for the least of my brothers, you did it to me. And that is something that is a package with the people of God. Believers are expected to do these things. And so that's what the apostles are dealing with in the church. And we, the church of today, also have to deal with that. We have to make sure that as God blesses us, we are not only growing spiritually, but we are also growing physically. The way we do our work, the way we train ourselves, the way we do exercise, as John is saying, so that we will be of good health. Because if we are of good health, then the church will be healthy as well. And that's something that we need to do. And so there are situations that may arise, just like the widow situation arose for the ministry of serving tables to go on. Even in our church, there must be situations that should come, like the children. There could be a lot of children moving around that will necessitate children's ministry. If there are couples and we hear this one and that one are fighting and all that and things are not going well, that can even necessitate a couple's ministry even within the church. Even if it's not within the church, even outside of the church today, many people are in trouble with their marriages and all that. A ministry can begin so that people will come to know the Lord. Youth ministry, worship ministry, singles ministry, old people's ministry. There are so many aspects that the condition, the situation should demand. And so, it is important as a church that we analyze the situation we find ourselves in, whether it comes in the form of complaints or whether it's in the newspapers and all that, should generate something for us. And I pray God that for the sake of the gospel, all those things that are being seen because of corona, like in our nation, the whole question of gender-based violence is coming up in many ways. It can be a ministry. It can be something that God will expect us to do something about, so that through it, many will see the light of the gospel and give their life to Jesus Christ. But then, this can only take place, and that's my second point, when there's leadership. The whole complaint came about because it's not mentioned who was in charge. There was no accountability of how the widows were given rations per day, the daily distribution. We don't know. The only thing is that it was not going well and there was complaints. And so leadership was needed. And the Bible says in verse 2 of the chapter we read, chapter 6, Acts chapter 6, it says, and the 12 summoned all the full members of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching. That's where we are of the word and serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint for this duty of serving tables. And we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, the point here is, now that the apostles have recognized that the ministry of serving tables is important, there is the need for leadership. And so, I just want to throw it out there that leadership cannot come from anywhere but from within the church. And so it was thrown back to the members of the church and say, you know the people who go about within you, you know everyone, you know who people are, how they do things. In fact, people, whether we like it or not, as we go about doing things in the church members are able to see what we do. They know each one in the church. We know each other. And so, they throw it back to them and said, the grounds for this work will be that there should be men of good repute. And I like the way the Amplified Bible says, it says, choose from among you seven men with good reputation, men of godly character, men of moral integrity. People, if you are going to work among people, even as a church, and we are being taught from the word of God, is to build good character in us, is to build integrity in us. We all complain of corruption in the country and all that. Well, if we know the word of God and the word of God is in us, we will not be corrupted. And so that's what they say. People that they know and trusted is people who were already involved in the day-to-day work. They know them. Those who are already even helping widows, they knew them already because there were some in the church. People who understood the plight of the poor people, the widows in the church. And there were people who were hardworking, actually, and took their task seriously. So, in actual fact, character was one of the things that should be considered for leadership. I just want to challenge us, as people of God, as we go to church day by day, week after week, are we really involved in the lives of one another so that God can elevate us to become leaders of seven tables or even getting into the word of God? So the people were selected, the seven were selected to serve. Diakonia, that's where the Greek says it, or later, which was called the deacons. These are people who became part of the diaconate and serve the church. In fact, later, Paul gave qualifications for such. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 says, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to too much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified and not slanderous, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. And let deacons each be a husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. That really shakes me. If people serve well, the Bible says that those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus Christ. That simply means that people will know, people will see, people will know, and the Lord begins to elevate you. People, it should be our desire that God will elevate us. And that can only happen if we avail ourselves to the little things in the church. Even if it means cleaning tables in the church, people will see it and God will begin to elevate us and put us in a place. And so, the apostles recognize that it is important to have leadership in this ministry of deeds, just like they were also leaders in the preaching of the word. The two go hand in hand, and God wants that to happen. It's not just about standing and preaching the word of God only, but to be able to serve one another. Because Jesus himself served the people around him, the disciples, he served them, and so he expects us also to serve one another. So this simply means they recognize that it's not, the work in the church is not only for the apostles. The apostles could not do it alone. There are times some of us, we just watch to see the leaders do the work. But God has called us together to be able to do it. Remember, when we talk of the apostles, they were apostles that were selected by Jesus, and God endued them with power. The miracles they were doing and all that, but they could not do both. They realized we can't do both. And so let us not expect the pastors and the elders and to do all the work in the church. We are all part of it. Each one of us are part of it for the sake of the gospel, because that's how the gospel can continue. Of course, some of us, as we continue to do the little things, God will make us come out as leaders who will be able to proclaim the word. Some of us, as we do the little things, God will elevate us to be able to do the ministry of deeds or serving tables. And that's where the full ministry of God comes. By this, I just also want to mention one thing, that there are times God can also raise people who can do both, who can do the ministry of the word, at the same time, the ministry of serving. Paul himself was an example. Paul was a tent maker who survived by making tents to sell and generate funds for his work, for his life, or for his livelihood. But at the same time, he was an apostle who could preach, and God used him mightily. And so wherever God takes us, we need to do that. Sometimes some people, when they hear the calling of God and the desire to work with God, they abandon their work. God can use you in whatever work that he has called you to do, whether it's out there in the public as a nurse or a doctor, as a lawyer, whatever God has called you as a vocation, you don't necessarily throw it away before you can see yourself doing something wonderful for God. You can still do your work and honor God there, and there will be great results. And at the same time, serve your God. There are times when we are deceived about seeing other people, thinking that the full ministry means you should just stop doing work physically. And so, leadership is needed. And it is us, everyone in the church, equipping ourselves and growing in the things that God gives to us to become leaders. And so, from our reading this morning, my third point is the results of providing leadership to address the situation. So what happens when the apostles recognize the need for serving tables, the need to equip the saints or select leaders who see into this kind of work? What happens? In verse 6, it says, so this they set up before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them. Verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. See, the apostles, if they had not addressed the issue of this complaint, it might have been a potential for division in the church. Because the favor of God was upon the church. They were moving powerfully, doing all things because there was unity in the church, but it was being threatened because of this. Now they provided leadership, and after doing this, people like Stephen was full of grace and power. God was using him mightily. And people, serving tables doesn't mean you are not spiritual. By doing your work effectively in your workplace and serving God genuinely and helping one another and even serving widows and orphans and all that, does not mean that you are not spiritual. We could see here, as a result of this ministry and as a result of leadership and things going well, the favor of God was upon the church. The complaint that was supposed to be a hindrance for the church was removed. And the Bible says that we could see the preaching of God going on. So now, it was not just only the apostles who were even preaching the word, but even the deacons as well. Later in chapter 8, we saw Philip go to Samaria after the persecution, goes and preach the word of God, and God use him mightily. People of God, as we embed ourselves into the things and serve God, no matter how menial it is, God is able to raise us as people, and we are able with power to do the work that God has called us to do. So there's a result that we could not run away from. Even, it's quite interesting, even the priests who were now persecuting the church, as we read, he says, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. They could see it. They could see the love that was shining and the beauty of God that was in the church. And they couldn't help but to join the church. So this is what led into many disciples. The number of disciples were increasing in the city. And it reminds me of what David wrote as a psalm in Psalm 133. He says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down to the collar of his robes. And it is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. When we live in unity, when the church resolve their issues, brothers and sisters, as we continue in the Lord, there will be problems here and there. Problems will arise, especially in our church that is multicultural. There could be racial issues, but we need to address them. We just don't sweep them under the carpet. But when that is done, God comes in power. And the favor of God comes upon the church. For there, the Lord has commanded the blessing. And the church will grow. And many will see and want to be part of it. So in conclusion, there may be many situations we will find ourselves in, like what happened in the first church, whereby the Hellenists were complaining about their widows, that they were being sidelined. Problems will come. Whatever it is, we may have a problem with one another, but let us not sweep them under the carpet. Let's address them. Where possible, let's get leadership to deal with them and attend to those issues. And definitely, the Lord will open a way for us. And the gospel will go forth. Charity begins at home. We cannot tell we love people out there when within here, within ourselves, in the church, we don't love one another or we don't put things right. And definitely, as we resolve this, a sweet aroma will come that will go a long way to be able to prove the people outside of the church that there is love here. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that through the things we do in our workplace, Lord, you are able to minister to people there so that as we do the right thing, they too will come to know the love of Christ in their lives. Thank you that you have placed us in the city, in different places where we can show the love of God to the others. So be with us, O Lord, that by your grace, we will be able to serve you. We will rise up as leaders and do the work you've called us to do. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.